Next on Gospel of Life, we'll see that buying presents isn't the only obligation that the Christmas celebration brings to us. I'm Reverend Frank Pavone, National Director of Gospel of Life Ministries. Welcome to our program, and Merry Christmas. This is the season in which we rejoice because God has become one of us. As usual, we're joined by Janet Morena, our Associate Director. And Janet, it really is a festive time. It is a joyful time, and it's a time to recommit ourselves to the defense of life, which is why Christ came to the earth.
That's right. And, you know, it's so easy to get caught up in the hustle and bustle of the holidays, with the buying of presents, is like we said, is good, and writing of cards and baking and all the great things.
You do a lot of good baking yourself.
I do a lot of terrific baking.
Tell me, the different kinds of cookies you make real quickly are the...
I make lemon drop cookies.
Lemon drop.
I make chocolate crinkles.
Okay.
And I make pinoli cookies.
All
and
right.
I make seven layer cookies.
Okay, so all of that is great because we're celebrating the greatest thing that happened, the coming of God in Christ.
But that's what we want to stay focused on, is that this is the day that God became one of us.
That's right.
You know, and that's so important. And recently you gave a wonderful reflection on that, preaching to a group. And let's take a look at that right now.
Brothers and sisters, a Savior has been born for us, who is Christ and Lord. We read the following words from the beginning of St. Luke's Gospel in chapter 2. In those days, a decree went out from Caesar Augustus that the whole world should be enrolled. This was the first enrollment while Quirinius was governor of Syria. All went to be enrolled, each to his own city. And Joseph also went up from Galilee, from the city of Nazareth, to Judea, to the city of David, which is called Bethlehem, because he was of the house and lineage of David, to be enrolled with Mary his betrothed, who was with child. And while they were there, the time came for her to be delivered. And she gave birth to her firstborn son, and wrapped him in swaddling clothes, and laid him in a manger, because there was no place for them in the inn. And in that region there were shepherds out in the field, keeping watch over their flock by night. And the angel of the Lord appeared to them, and the glory of the Lord shone around them, and they were filled with fear. And the angel said to them, "Be not afraid. For behold, I bring you good news of a great joy which will come to all the people. For to you is born this day in the city of David a Savior, who is Christ the Lord. And this will be a sign for you. You will find a babe wrapped in swaddling clothes and lying in a manger." And suddenly there was with the angel a multitude of the heavenly host praising God and saying, "Glory to God in the highest, and on earth peace among men with whom he is pleased." Well, friends, this familiar passage of Scripture gives us the meaning of the feast that the world celebrates at Christmas, sometimes seeming not to remember why it's celebrating it, but nevertheless, the reality is this is where it comes from. And this is what fills the hearts of disciples and believers in Christ like you with joy at this time of year. It's not that all the trappings of Christmas and the exchanging of gifts, the decorations, the music, and the festivities are bad. They aren't. In fact, an event as great as the birth of our Savior should be accompanied by all that jubilation. We're not here to say that we should stop doing all those things. We're here to say that we should understand the foundation of all those things, that we should put all those things in the proper context, have them point in the proper direction, and infuse everything that we're doing and saying, singing and celebrating, eating and drinking, with the name, with the awareness of the presence of this child who is God. This is Christmas. It is Christ himself, Christ who is God with us. Look at this marvelous passage that we just heard. The fullness of time arrived. God's plan for the birth of Christ was fulfilled. He had been preparing for this from all eternity. The prophets declared that the Messiah of the Lord was coming. They declared where he would be born, in Bethlehem. They declared how he would be born, of a virgin. They declared that his name would be God with us, Emmanuel, Jesus. He will save his people from their sins. And of course, despite the fact that God prepared for this coming from all eternity, we read that there was no place for them, that is, Jesus, Mary, and Joseph, in the inn. God did not forget one of the details of preparation for his son's birth. Brothers and sisters, there was no room for them in the inn because this was a sign to us that there was no room for the Messiah in our hearts. He came precisely to change that. He came precisely to reconcile God with sinners, the divine with the human. He came and in himself he brought that marriage of divinity and humanity so that there would be room in the inn of our own hearts today. The passage continues with the announcement of the birth of Christ to these shepherds. And notice that the angel of the Lord says, first and foremost, be not afraid. Now, Scripture is filled from beginning to end with this particular admonition, and it's right there at the heart of the gospel when the birth of Jesus Christ is first announced. It continues to be announced from every pulpit, in every church, throughout the Christian world, because be not afraid is very much the heart of the gospel. Be not afraid. Why? Because God has reached out to humanity to reconcile it to himself and to give it eternal life in Christ. Be not afraid ultimately means this. And here we understand why it's said at the birth and the coming of Christ. It means don't be afraid that when Jesus Christ comes, he's going to take anything from you. Don't be afraid that when this Savior is welcomed into your life and into your heart and you become a disciple, that he's going to crush you, that he's going to limit your freedom, that he's going to take away your rights, that he's going to make you unhappy, that he's going to give you burdens impossible to carry. Don't be afraid of any of that because it isn't true. The one who's coming is the one who's going to lift your burdens. The one who's coming is the one who's going to increase your freedom. The one who's coming is your fulfillment. Be not afraid that you're going to have to become some kind of burdened and oppressed, unhappy slave when you welcome this Jesus into your life. This is how the world would have us think. Oh, those Christians can have no fun. Oh, those Christians don't know how to be happy. Oh, look at how much fun those Christians miss out on in this life because they have to follow this burdensome code of rules and regulations and commandments. No, brothers and sisters, be not afraid. Jesus Christ transforms us from the inside, writes the law on our hearts with his Spirit, and helps us to understand that, yes, there are laws and commandments and obligations of the Christian life that have to be fulfilled. But we understand those from the inside. We understand that when we have that intimacy with God, doing what is right becomes as natural as breathing. Be not afraid, for unto you today is born a Savior, and this is good news. This Savior is Messiah, which is what Christ means, Messiah, and Lord. The prophets had foretold the coming of the Messiah of the Lord. Now, Messiah, or Christ, means anointed one, someone who's given a mission from God on behalf of the people, given a mission. Kings were anointed, priests were anointed, prophets were anointed. Christ is anointed as priest, prophet, and king. And he comes to his people as not the Messiah of the Lord, but the Messiah and Lord. He is Lord. God, in saving the world in Christ, didn't simply send somebody. He arrived himself. He came to do the job himself. The Son of God is God. And he is born now as a little child. And look at the amazing lesson that is conveyed here. Becoming a tiny baby, God is saying to us, I am approachable. So many people believe in God, but they're afraid to approach him. They don't know if he even wants them to approach him. They don't know if he likes them. They don't know if he's on their side or if he's out to destroy them. And so many religions in the history of humanity have arisen precisely as a method of protecting us from God's anger. That's not what Christianity is. Christianity is a religion sweeping us up into God's love, filling us with God's life, not simply protecting us from his anger or appeasing the wrath of the deity. No. He comes as a little child. Who's afraid of a little baby? Who doesn't want to approach a tiny infant? Who doesn't want to cuddle and embrace a newborn? This is what happens at Christmas. It's not just that it's that historical moment that we are to remember and to marvel about. It's that historical moment reminds us of the reality today. That right now, in your life and mine, God is as approachable as a little tiny baby lying in the manger. That right now, he wants you to run to him just like you would run to that baby if you were there in Bethlehem. And he comes to break oppression. Welcoming this child means we welcome the mission that he accomplishes. Yes, God and sinners reconciled, as the Christmas carol says, but also as whole holy night proclaims, truly he taught us to love one another. His law is love and his gospel is peace. Chains shall he break, for the slave is our brother, and in his name all oppression shall cease. If we celebrate Christmas, we're not just welcoming the child. We're welcoming the message the child taught. If we're celebrating Christmas, we're not just welcoming the baby. We're welcoming the gospel that the baby proclaimed as the preacher in Nazareth and in Jerusalem and throughout Judea and, yes, to the farthest ends of the earth. A message that all oppression now must cease because in this child, all humanity has been raised up to the throne of God. That's what Christmas is. Joining humanity to God, and that means we can no longer tolerate the oppression of humanity. We celebrate Christmas by recommitting ourselves to the defense, to the dignity, to the enhancement, to the protection, to the lifting up of every human life. That is the best way, brothers and sisters, for us to celebrate this feast and to carry it throughout the year. How do we carry the joy of Christmas throughout the year? Is it just a matter of trying to stir up in our hearts and in our emotions the happiness that we get when we open our Christmas presents? Is it just about trying to create the joy of family and gathering together for meals throughout the course of the year? Fundamentally, it is this. It is acknowledging that in every human life, God is now present. And that we, in the joy of Christmas, run towards every human being just as we would run toward the baby in the manger. And we say, there Jesus is born. And over there Jesus is born. And here the Messiah is come. And here is good news for us in this new human life. In other words, the birth of every human child is a reflection, is an echo, is a sign of the birth of God himself at Christmas. And if that's true, then we labor intensely each and every day to prepare the way for those children. As God prepared the way from all eternity and then through the prophets, and finally John the Baptizer, he prepared the way for the coming of his son. We prepare the way for the coming of every human child by building laws and policies in our society that make it easier for moms and dads to welcome that new life. By building laws and policies in our society that don't allow the atrocity of abortion that tears apart that human life, even in the womb. By bearing witness to the fact that there is no such thing as a human life that does not have equal dignity to every other human life. It can never be that God makes a mistake in creating a little baby in the womb and then gives us permission to tear that baby to shreds. What does it mean to celebrate Christmas? It means to see in every life a reflection of the infinite glory and beauty and power of God. And therefore, to fall on our knees, not only before the Christ child, whom alone we worship as divine, but to fall on our knees in reverence to every child, precisely because those children reflect Christ, and to every human being at every stage of existence, precisely because they are the image of God. Let's pray. Lord, bring an end to violence against human life. Bring an end to abortion. And as we celebrate Christmas, may all oppression cease. Amen. Yes, friends, in His name all oppression shall cease. And that is, Janet, one of the most significant lines in the various Christmas hymns, and ties so well into our pro-life work.
That's right. And, you know, in addition to those marvelous words, Father, we also have special prayers that you've written, and people can go to our special website, prayercampaign.org,
yes,
and they can join with us. And, you know, I encourage people to download those prayers, print them out, just, you know, if you haven't finished your Christmas cards, put them in. Or if you have more presents to wrap, you can, mm-hmm, you know, copy some of those prayers and put them. So when they open the gift, there's a nice prayer on top.
That's
first.
Right. What prayercampaign.org does actually throughout the year is it takes the various feasts and seasons that we're celebrating in the Christian world and links them to the defense of human life.
That's right.
And so we're praying for this protection of life. We're praying that we'll be active in the pro-life effort. And as we celebrate these beautiful days.
That's right. So I hope everyone really has, as they say, a Merry Christmas, right? Keeping Christ in Christmas. But see how we can reflect more and be more prayerful during this busy season and really keep people focused on, you know, that Jesus Christ was an unborn child. He became one of us.
Yes, and He was God when He was an embryo.
That's right.
He was God when He was a fetus. And He was God as an unborn child. I mean, this is... As Jesus passed through the different stages of our humanity, He sanctified and redeemed and brought them all back into union with God.
That's right. So I hope, like I said, everyone reflects and prays more during this beautiful Christmas season.
Yes. Well, thank you, Janet, for everything. And brothers and sisters, stay with us. We're going to have our action segment after we take a break. And the action segment, as we talk about different ideas that you can implement to defend life, is, as we said in this reflection, a way of also thanking God for the gift of Christmas, for the gift of His child, and of preparing for the new year, because in the new year we can make stronger resolutions to be active in the pro-life cause, more effective in our discipleship of Christ. Let's put the past behind us, and let's welcome the opportunities that the new year sets before us. Please stay with us.
There is a crisis in America. A Holocaust that takes the lives of more than 3,000 children every day through the horrific act of abortion. Yet despite this tragic loss, we are gaining victory over this culture of death. In the last 12 years, half of the nation's freestanding abortion clinics have closed, and the abortion industry is on the run. Gospel of Life Ministries has played a vital role in the rescue of countless children and is currently in place to save thousands more. But we urgently need your support to make this happen. Not everyone can be on the front line of this battle, but when you support Gospel of Life, you are saving lives. Your life-saving gift of $25, $50, or $100 will help us provide alternatives to women who think they have no choice but abortion. And for those countless women who have lost children to abortion, Gospel of Life Ministries will help them find forgiveness, healing, and peace in the cross of Christ, and become outspoken advocates for the lives of their unborn children. The help you provide will also bring the saving word of life to churches through a training program that is raising a mass voice that will see abortion stopped. With your gift of $25, we'll send you the booklet, Pro-Life, Today and Always. It will give you an overview of why we are pro-life and provide reflections that will stir and motivate you to action. With your gift of $50, we'll also send you the DVD, The Procedure. In this powerful DVD, you'll hear abortionists discuss the procedure in their own words and unmask the violence that the abortion industry tries to hide. And when you give a gift of $100, we'll also include the book, Forbidden Grief. This compelling book will open your eyes to the psychological damage done to those who have had an abortion experience. Please call, write, or make your gift online today.
Friends, welcome to our action segment. Changing someone's mind about abortion or saving a baby's life can be as simple as this little business card. That's what Janet and I are going to talk to you about today. Janet, tell us about these action cards.
Well, these action cards are produced by our friends at Life Dynamics. And if people, after we talk about using them, would like a free sample of these cards, they can contact us at Gospel of Life, and we'll send them a little kit of samples, and then they can order more if they like. And what they are is a simple business card. And the idea is you leave these in places where people can just come upon them and read that pro-life message.
So you leave them in a restaurant when you pay your check. In other words, just slip it in there along with
the
credit card slip and the tip. Why not? Leave them in any public places. Sometimes don't they have in the... in a lot of these supermarkets, like a kind of a bulletin board area.
That's right.
Stick one of these up there.
Yeah.
Distribute them, and this is where people can use their creativity. And if you always have some in your purse, in your wallet, or in the glove compartment of your car, then it's easy. Put some in your computer case, you know, in your briefcase.
Right.
Then you'll find creative ways to get these in front of people's eyes.
That's right. And I've used them in a variety of places, in public restrooms, you know. Mm-hmm. There's those nice little ledges, you know, or the place right where the paper towels are, there's ledges and people are always grabbing. I lay a few of them there. I've actually gone to the public library, and I go into the section that has the pro-abortion books, and I literally open them up, and I drop some action cards in all the mm-hmm. different titles.
Let's look at what some of these say. I like this one. The cost of an abortion. One dead, one wounded. And then it says, stop abortion now.
Right. This one here says, who loves abortion? And there's three choices, women, babies, or irresponsible men. And this is checked off, irresponsible men.
Of course. It hurts both the women and kills the baby.
That's right.
Real feminists don't kill their children for anybody or any reason.
Yeah. Here's one. If abortion's the answer, it must be a really stupid question.
It was the free who defended slavery, the Nazis who defended the Holocaust, and it is the born who defend abortion. That's the way oppression works. So these really, I mean, these little sayings are clever and they make you think.
That's right.
And again, they can be read within the course of 5 seconds.
You know what it is? By the time the person realizes what it is, they've gotten the message.
Right.
You know, very often people say, well, how do we get our message out? Because if they see it's something pro-life, they turn off, they turn away, they won't look. These are so clever because, you know, the second you pick it up, as you start, like, for example, this one, have you hugged your choice today? Well, by the time I've read that, I've got the message.
Yeah.
Choice today, you mean my baby.
And the point is, we'll send them a sample packet of a variety of these different sayings.
That's right. With an order sheet that gives the full complement of sayings.
Then they can get as
then
many
they can
as they
order
want.
More. Because some people might like one saying more than another, and those are the ones they want.
Sure.
They're great little things to use, and just about every place you can distribute them. For example, women who go to the beauty parlor or the nail salon, you can leave a few. They always have magazines around, scatter them in the magazines.
Pro-life organizations, certainly. You can give them out at a pro-life meeting. In church, the pastors might want to distribute them to the members of their congregation and make them available in the back of church
for
people to use, and the students can find all kinds of ways to get these around.
So
if people go to our website, gospellife.com, they can send us an email, they can write to us, they can call us, we'll send them the sample pack, and then they can order through that order sheet the rest, whatever they want. Okay, good. Well, thanks very much. Friends, we ask you to help us promote this program, let other people know about Gospel of Life, and our website. But furthermore, we ask your support for our ministry because our team is traveling all over the country. We're willing to come to your community. We're doing these programs. We're strategizing with pro-life groups. We're getting groups trained to do things like 40 Days for Life and various outreaches to the abortion clinics. Help us do this work by supporting this ministry. GospelLife.com, you can donate to us online or you can send us a check. We rely on your support. We'll see you next time. Meanwhile, let's pray for one another that we may truly bring about a culture of life. Thank you.
You are looking at the face of an unborn child, 25 and a half weeks into pregnancy. This child can be legally killed by abortion in America. As this ad from the Yellow Pages proves, some abortion clinics sell abortions up to 28 weeks. Abortion kills living children whose hearts are beating and whose bodily organs are all in place. Abortion, haven't we gone too far?
There is a crisis in America, a Holocaust that takes the lives of more than 3,000 children every day through the horrific act of abortion. Yet despite this tragic loss, we are gaining victory over this culture of death. With your gift of $25, we'll send you the booklet, Pro-Life, Today and Always. It will give you an overview of why we are pro-life and provide reflections that will stir and motivate you to action. With your gift of $50, we'll also send you the DVD, The Procedure. In this powerful DVD, you'll hear abortionists discuss the procedure in their own words and unmask the violence that the abortion industry tries to hide. And when you give a gift of $100, we'll also include the book, Forbidden Grief. This compelling book will open your eyes to the psychological damage done to those who have had an abortion experience. Please call, write, or make your gift online today. Father Frank A. Pavone, director of Gospel of Life Ministries, is an internationally known pro-life activist, speaker, and author. He has been the national director of Priests for Life since 1993 and appears regularly in the religious and secular media. He has served at the Vatican's Pontifical Council for the Family. He has been a spiritual guide for Norma McCorvey, the former Jane Roe of the Supreme Court's abortion decision, Roe v. Wade. Father Frank is president of the National Pro-Life Religious Council, an umbrella group of many denominations working to end abortion. Father Frank is also the national pastoral director and board chairman of Rachel's Vineyard, the world's largest ministry of healing after abortion. Father Frank is a Catholic priest of the Diocese of Amarillo, Texas, and carries out his pro-life mission with the permission of his bishop. For more information on Father Frank and Priests for Life, visit www.priestsforlife.org. Gospel of Life program is made possible by the supporters of Gospel of Life Ministries and Priests for Life. Your gift will be used exclusively for the exempt purposes of stopping abortion and providing post-abortion healing. Specific outreaches mentioned are examples of the programs conducted and supported. Gifts are considered to be without use restriction unless specifically stipulated by the donor.